Let's take out our Bibles now and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, we read the first 12 verses and then the last 11 verses, that is 38 through 48. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Moving on now to verse 38, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. This is the word of God, inspired, infallible, true, and profitable for our lives of godliness on this earth. The text for the sermon is verses 38 through 42. Let's reread that. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Revenge or meekness? Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, do you live for revenge or do you live in meekness? Those two antithetical concepts are featured in the text this evening. The text belongs to Jesus' great Sermon on the Mount, in which he is giving the spiritual characteristics of the citizens of the kingdom of heaven who are governed by the law of love. And one of those characteristics is meekness. Jesus introduces meekness in verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But he does not explain meekness and give the activities of meekness until later in the chapter, in verses 38 through 42, which is the text for the sermon tonight. There in the text, when Jesus forbids resisting evil, and when he requires several seemingly radical activities, beginning with the turning of the other cheek, Jesus is referring to meekness. The citizens of the kingdom of heaven do not live in revenge, saying an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but they live in meekness, turning the other cheek. Revenge or meekness? We ought, right at the outset of the sermon, to define very carefully those two fundamental concepts that run through the course of the sermon. Revenge. Revenge is an action that arises out of a spirit of wicked hatred and anger, whereby one who has been mistreated or thinks he has been mistreated looks for paybacks, saying, I'll get you back. Well, God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Romans 12, verse 19. The man of revenge says, no, no, God, vengeance is mine, and I will repay. And an example of revenge in the scriptures could be found in Esau, who, when after his brother Jacob received the blessing, chased Jacob and said, I'll get you back, Jacob. I'll kill you, Jacob. Revenge. Meekness is an attitude of the heart whereby one humbly and gently deals with others, even those who mistreat him, always ready to forgive. Meekness. The meek man knows that he is a sinner before God and he mistreats God every day, and yet God deals so gently with him. So the meek man is not easily provoked, but he deals gently and kindly with others, always turning the other cheek and always ready to forgive. Sinless, Jesus Christ accepted, there was never a man who walked upon the face of the earth that was as meek as the man Moses. We read in Numbers 12, verse 3, now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth, with one exception, in which he demonstrated he was not the sinless Christ, and lost control of himself and struck the rock in anger. With one exception, Moses patiently endured the grudging of the Israelites for 40 years. When they complained and they chided and they said, you took us out of Egypt to kill us, Moses, he didn't look for revenge, but he turned the other cheek and dealt humbly and meekly with the Israelites, devoting himself to them. Revenge and meekness. We won't find those two words in the text this evening, but the ideas we do find, revenge or meekness, and which word describes you? The man of revenge is the one who says, I'll get you back. And the man of meekness is the one who turns the other cheek. Revenge or meekness. And the Lord Jesus Christ authoritatively declares tonight, not revenge, but meekness characterizes the citizens of my kingdom. Not revenge, but meekness. And we want that word to resound in our hearts tonight and to be carried with us through the week ahead. Not revenge, but meekness. So let's look at the text tonight under that theme, considering first of all what is forbidden, and then secondly what is required, and third, what is the power. What is forbidden? In the passage, Jesus is forbidding revenge. We read in verse 38, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you," verse 39, "that ye resist not evil." The Old Testament had rules for justice, rules for the equitable treatment of people, to make sure that everything in Israel was conducted fairly. And so in at least three different Old Testament passages, we read of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Exodus 21 speaks of punishments for various crimes. And then we read in verses 24 and 25, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. And similar statements can be found in Leviticus 24, verses 20 and 21, and Deuteronomy 19, verse 21, so that it indeed was written, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That phrase is an expression that conveys a principle of justice, teaching that there must not only be punishment for crimes in Israel, but the punishment must always be fair, never too lenient, and never too harsh. An eye for an eye means if you poked out your neighbor's eye, it's only fair that you have your eye poked out. It's not fair if nothing happens to you. It's not fair if you lose a fingernail. That's too lenient. It's not fair if you have both of your legs cut off. That's too harsh. If you poke out another person's eye, it's only fair that you have your eye poked out. It's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If you get angry with your neighbor and you punch out his front teeth, it's only fair that you lose your front teeth, for it is a tooth for a tooth. Not an eye for a tooth. That's too harsh. Not a life for an eye or a tooth. That's too harsh. Not a tooth for an eye. That's too lenient. But this is just in Israel. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now let's understand that this phrase, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, did not mean that in Old Testament Israel, people were always getting their eyes poked out and always getting their teeth knocked out. But this was simply an expression that was conveying a principle of justice, that there must be punishment and the punishment must be fair. If you killed a man, the law said a man for a man, you must die. If you got angry with your neighbor and you went into his yard and you slit the throat of his lamb, the law said a sheep for a sheep, you have to give him one of your sheep. If you were careless and you burned the hand of your neighbor, it's only fair, says the law, a burning for a burning, that you have your hand burned in fire. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life, sheep for sheep, burning for burning. And in all of this, God was teaching Israel, I'm a just God. No one can ever accuse me of wrongdoing. I am a God of justice, and my justice must be satisfied. And that means if someone in the camp sins against me, they must be punished, and the punishment must be and will be fair. And Israel, because you are my people, if someone offends in the camp, if they trespass, then they must be punished, and they must be punished fairly. And so the Lord appointed magistrates, rulers, judges, elders to execute justice in Israel. To use the language of Romans 13, verse 4, the judge was a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. When crimes are committed, there must be punishment, and the punishment must fit the crime. It is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But verse 38, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But means something was wrong. But means something was not right in Israel. And it was not God's written principle of justice. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is a principle of justice that is forever perfect. What was wrong was not what God had said or what God had written, but what was wrong was what the Jews had been and were saying. The problem was found deep in the heart of the Jew who took this expression from the Old Testament, a principle of justice, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And he said, this gives me license to seek personal revenge. And that's why Jesus says in verse 39, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil. That is very literally that ye set not yourselves against another. The idea here is that ye oppose not evil with evil. That is, but I say unto you that ye seek not revenge. You see, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth was an expression conveying a principle of justice that demanded there must be punishment of crimes, and the punishment of crimes must be fair, and it will be executed by the rulers, by the judges in Israel, those whom God had lawfully appointed to positions of authority. But the Jew took that expression, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and said, this is God's giving to me a license to seek personal revenge. And so if the neighbor came and he killed the cow of the Jew said, what does the law say? A cow for a cow. I'm going over to your yard to take one of your cows. And if the neighbor came and punched the Jew in the face, the Jew said, it is a punch for a punch. And he clenched his fist and he punched him back in the face. The Jew took the law, the principle of justice, and turned it on its head for his own personal gain and to satisfy his own wicked desires, seeking personal revenge. The Jew knew better. Even prior to the great Sermon on the Mount, the Jew knew better. He knew that God hated revenge. Leviticus 19, verse 18, thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And Proverbs 24, verse 29, say not, I will do to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. Don't say that, God said in the Old Testament. No revenge. The Jews of Jesus' day said, vengeance is ours and we will repay. For it is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Jesus comes and in the great Sermon on the Mount, he says, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye seek not revenge, no revenge in my kingdom. Let's hear that word, this morning, no revenge in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Let's hear that word as children, boys and girls. No revenge. Maybe you're playing out in the soccer field. You've got a soccer game going on and someone goes for the ball and they miss. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe it was on purpose. They miss and they kick you right in the leg. And now what are you going to do? Because it hurts. Are you going to get mad and seek revenge? And a few minutes later, you've got your opportunity and you're going to kick them back, for it is a kick for a kick. You're in the back seat of the family automobile and your little brother steals your book. What are you going to do? Give him the elbow? You got a juice box and some cookies and you're out in the backyard on the picnic table and father says, I want you to help me with this little project here. And you're going to roll up the garden hose. You put down your juice box. You put down your cookies. And when you come back, you discover that your little brother helped himself to your juice box. And he drank the whole thing. It's gone. And it was yours. And it was the last one. And your favorite flavor. And now what? You're going to take him and push him down so that he starts crying. You took my juice box. Push him down. That's revenge. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, boys and girls in my kingdom, no revenge. Let's hear that word as adults tonight. No revenge. The man of revenge says within himself, you don't talk about me that way. And you don't talk about my family that way and get away with it. I'm going to take your name and drag it through the dirt, you scumbag. The man of revenge, he says, you don't treat me that way and you don't talk to me that way and you don't withhold these good things from me. The husband thinks that in the marriage. You don't do this to me, my wife, and get away with it. So I'm going to get you back in a very subtle way. I'm going to give you the silent treatment. I'm not talking to you, and I don't care if it's Sunday, and we're on the way to church, a 15-minute drive, because of what you did to me. I'm not talking to you. That's revenge. The man of revenge, he says within himself, I've got an issue with his brother in the church who sinned against me. But I'm not going to go to the brother to talk about it with him. I'm certainly not going the way of Matthew 18. But I will go to the coffee shop. I might even get on social media. I'm going to talk to others, not to the man who sinned against me, but I'm going to talk to many others about what he did and what kind of scoundrel he is. What he did to me, I'll get him back. Revenge. The man of revenge says within himself, everybody in the church knows I was wronged, personally or in business. They all know it. I was wronged. And I'm going to give the impression that I'm a very meek man, and so I won't do anything unethical, and I'm not going to say anything unethical. And everyone's going to live in the church saying, what a meek, pious, God-fearing, godly man he is. But in my heart, I will secretly wish that God sends calamity into his life and ruins him. Revenge. And the Lord Jesus Christ, with all of his authority, says to us as adults tonight, no revenge. And let's understand, the Jews were not playing games as we do sometimes. We play games one with another, maybe on the job site, in a spirit of friendship. I'll do this to you and you do it back to me, and it's kind of fun. And that's all right, as long as we don't cross a line. And we might do that out in the field or in the home. I'll get you back, all in a spirit of fun. That's not what the Jews were doing. The Jews had a spirit of hatred and anger. And they found this expression, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And they said, this gives us the right to seek revenge. And they lived in revenge. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, no revenge. Not revenge, but meekness characterizes the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Meekness is required. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But, and now what follows is Jesus' requirement of meekness as he gives the outstanding activities of meekness. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Meekness is required. Let's be sure we do not misunderstand the meekness that Jesus requires of us. First of all, meekness does not abolish justice and the role of the judge. If someone is very mean to you at school, boys and girls, you might want to go tell the teacher. Or in the home, you might want to go tell your parents, and they are the judges, and they will execute justice. If someone sins against you in the church, you may never seek revenge. But in meekness, you may be required to go the way of Matthew 18, and that's going to bring you ultimately to the judges of the consistory. Meekness does not abolish justice, the principle of justice, and the role of judges in God's church and kingdom. Secondly, meekness does not abolish the Christian's right of self-defense. When Jesus says in verse 39, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Jesus is not teaching that if someone comes at you with hatred and in opposition to you, trying to kill you, you may not defend yourself, but you must let them kill you. Invite such opposition. That's not the point. Even ignoring the spiritual principle for just a moment, Jesus does not say, but whosoever shall attempt to thrust a sword through your heart, turn to him your head also, that he may club thee to death. Jesus is not talking about mortal blows with swords and clubs. He's talking about cheek slaps. Insults. Meekness does not abolish the Christian's right of self-defense. If we take the words of Jesus and press them to limits he never intended, it will give occasion to the wicked to do all kinds of cruel things to helpless Christians, and then the church of God on earth will be destroyed. Thirdly, meekness does not abolish the Christian's right to engage in lawsuits in certain circumstances. Verse 40, Jesus says, and if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And with those words, Jesus is not teaching that if a man unlawfully goes after all of your possessions so that you'd be left destitute out on the streets, you don't have any legal recourse. Again, ignoring the spiritual principle for just a moment, Jesus does not speak of a man suing you for your entire estate. He speaks of a man suing you for your coat. You can do without your coat, can you not? If we take the words of Christ and press them to limits he never intended, then his words will foster among men all kinds of unrestrained cruelty against the church. And the wicked will say, well, the Christians, they have no legal recourse according to the law of Christ himself. So let's sock it to them. And the church on earth will be destroyed. Fourthly, the meekness that Jesus requires does not abolish the Christian's calling to use discernment in giving. Verses 41 and 42, Jesus says, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. When Jesus says, give to him that asketh thee, he's not teaching that you must give to every single person whatsoever that person asks of you, so that if a drunkard comes stumbling up your front porch steps and knocks on the door and says, give me $50, you must give him $50. And if a gay pride group comes to the consistory and demands that the consistory give the group $5,000 for the support of homosexuality, the consistory must give what the gay pride group has asked for. And if the teenager says, we must go on a Caribbean cruise, Father, well, then the father must take the son on a Caribbean cruise. That's not the teaching of Jesus. If we press these words to limits he never intended, the floodgates will be open to all manner of unrestrained immorality in society. And the wicked will say, how are we going to fund this project and fund that project? Walk through the streets and find your local Reformed church, go to their consistory and demand X amount of dollars, and according to the law of Jesus, they must give it. Not so. Jesus' requirement of meekness does not abolish the Christian's calling to use discernment in giving. So meekness does not abolish justice in the role of the judges. Meekness does not abolish our right of self-defense. Meekness does not abolish our right to engage in lawsuits in certain circumstances. And it does not abolish our calling to use discernment in giving. You know, though, to the natural man, there's something attractive about the misinterpretation of the text as it is misinterpreted by some radical Christian pacifists. To our natural man, there's something attractive because this wrong interpretation removes the spiritual essence of the law, and it takes the law of Jesus Christ and reduces it to a code merely governing external conduct so that one can blindly and mechanically follow the law of Jesus and earn his way into heaven. You want to go to heaven? Here's the way. If you get hit on the face, you turn the other cheek. Just keep doing it. Turn your other cheek. Someone wants your coat, give them your cloak. If someone asks you for $50, you keep giving those $50 bills and you'll earn your way to heaven. Let's not misinterpret Jesus' words and his teaching on meekness tonight, pressing the words into an interpretation that conflicts with the rest of Scripture. The meaning is simply this: You may never, under any circumstances, seek revenge. But you must always live with a spirit of meekness. And what does that meekness look like? Christ says, it looks like this. Verse 39, whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. That's first. And that's primary because that concerns our body and our person. You turn the other cheek. You might do that literally. If someone slaps you across the face, you might do that literally. You turn the other cheek. If someone insults you, you may never look for revenge, but you turn the other cheek and open yourself up to another insult. If someone kicks you in the game or elbows you in the back seat, you don't look for revenge, but you be willing to be kicked again and elbowed again. You turn the other cheek. Why would you do that? Jesus commands it. But why? Hold that thought for just a moment. Turn the other cheek. Secondly, this is the activity of meekness. Verse 40, "And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also." This activity now concerns our possessions. If any man comes to sue you and take your coat, and now that's your inner, thinner, cheaper undergarment. He wants your coat. Then while you're taking off your cloak, which is your outer, heavier, more expensive garment, give him your cloak also. If he sues you for your coat, give him your cloak also. So you come back to the picnic table, little boy or little girl, and you discover that your little brother drank your whole juice box. Now, what are you going to do? Jesus says you must be meek. And what does that mean? Well, it might mean you go tell your father. But if you really want to look like Christ, and if your parents are watching, and you don't know it, but they're watching, this will probably make them cry. When you come back to the picnic table and you see your little brother drank your whole juice box, you take those cookies and you say, "I'd like you to have these also." That is meekness. And if someone mistreats us and we lose something that belonged to us, money, a possession, a friend, Jesus says you may never look for revenge, but you must live in meekness. Give them a second. They want your coat, give them your cloak also. And thirdly, verses 41 and 42, "Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." Someone might be very inconsiderate and bold and demanding and forward, and they say, they compel you, says Jesus, they compel you. Go a mile for me. Run all of these errands for me. Go a mile. And you do it. And you come back. And they're unthankful. They act as if they're entitled to your service. Now what are you going to do? Look for revenge? Jesus says, be willing to go a second mile for them. That's meekness. And give, and give, and give with a heart of charity, even to your enemies. Give. No revenge, says Jesus, but meekness characterizes the citizens of my kingdom. And let's understand that meekness is not essentially an action, but it is an action that arises out of a right spirit, so that Jesus is not satisfied if someone punches you, if someone slaps you in the face, and you say, "Well, I don't really want to do this, but I know Jesus requires it, so I'll turn the other cheek." That does not please Jesus. And they compel you to go a mile, and you say, "I don't really want to, but Jesus requires it, so I'll go 2 miles for this ingrate." That doesn't please Jesus. Meekness is not essentially an activity in what you do, but it is that humble, gentle spirit. Not revenge, but meekness, says the Lord Jesus Christ. And why meekness? Because the citizens of the kingdom of Jesus Christ are governed by the law of love, which He writes upon our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Why will you be meek to others? Because, number one, you love them. You love your neighbor as yourself. Even if he's your enemy, the following verses, 43 and 44, read, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy enemy, love thy neighbor, and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. When someone slaps you, and God forbid, when someone slaps you in the face, you may never look for revenge, but meekly you turn the other cheek. And now just imagine that. Someone comes full of hatred and anger and they slap you across the face. And you know what they're expecting? A fight. And meekly you turn the other cheek. Why do you do that? Because you love them. And God might use that to stun them and to break their spirit and to turn their spirit away from sin. So that they say, what a horribly wretched person I am. How could I hit you across the face and you gently turn to me the other cheek? God might use that to turn their heart. When an evildoer sues you unlawfully and takes away your coat, he's expecting that you're going to begin plotting how you can get him back. And as you're taking off your cloak, you say, I'd like you to have my cloak also. God might use that to stun him and to bring him to repentance over his sin. And that's why you're meek. You love him. God will never. God will never use your revenge to break a wicked man's spirit and turn his heart. But God might be pleased to use your meekness to break his spirit and to turn him from his wicked way. Meekness, because you love your neighbor as yourself. And meekness, secondly, because you love the Lord your God. Beloved, revenge is not good for us. It poisons our heart. There's never in the history of the world been a man who spent his waking hours looking for revenge, only then to go to his bed at night and commune with God in prayer. It has never happened in the history of the world. He goes to bed with a poisoned heart of bitterness and jealousy and hatred and anger, and he's drifting and drifting farther and farther away from God. But you know, the man who spends his waking hours resolved to put away all desire for revenge and to live in meekness with his neighbor, he goes home at night and he communes with his God in prayer. And there's sweet fellowship between the God he loves and the God who loves him. Not revenge, but meekness, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Revenge or meekness. And now, what is the power to live this life that Jesus requires, forsaking all desire for revenge and living in meekness? There must be some great power to live this way because, as you all know, it goes against our wicked, sinful natures. There is something in the text that indicates the necessity of supplied power, and it is the first and definitive act of meekness, which according to Jesus Christ is the turning of the other cheek. That's a striking statement, and it's first. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. That right there indicates there has to be some great power enabling us to live in meekness, because what Jesus requires is impossible. It's not impossible to do the action, but it's impossible to do the action with the right spirit. There may not be another hurtful action that one can perform against us that requires more self-restraint than being slapped in the face. And that's true even for the mildest, most laid-back, easy-going person who will give up every coat in his closet, will go 2,000 miles for him who compels him to go one. It is impossible for him to be slapped in the face and not be provoked to wicked anger. A slap in the face is even an idiomatic expression for an insult, and hopefully you have never been struck in the face. If you have been struck in the face, the Father in heaven is very merciful. And if you have struck another in anger, striking him or her in the face, there's pardon for you tonight in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe. Being slapped in the face is an attack on the dignity of the human being, and it is a grievous affront. And therefore, even the mildest, most easygoing person who can endure almost all things, when he is slapped in the face, is immediately provoked to anger. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ requires that when someone smites you on the right cheek, you turn to him, the other also. That indicates the necessity of some unimaginably great otherworldly power of meekness. There must be power. And where does this astounding power come from? Verse 39, but I say unto you, look at him. Look at the preacher. But I say unto you, he is Christ Jesus, your Lord. But I say unto you, and in another place he says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Learn of him. He is the power. Learn of him. He was slapped in the face. God of infinite glory came into our flesh, and before the Sanhedrin, he was struck in the face. Matthew 26, verse 67, then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands. Learn of him. He had his coat unlawfully taken. John 19, 23 and 24, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Learn of him. He was compelled to go a distance, not only figuratively from his incarnation all the way to the grave, but literally he was compelled to go a distance. John 19, 16 and 17. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place which is called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Learn of him. He gave and he gave and he gave, while others only took and took and took. And learn of him as he slapped in the face, as he spit upon, as he has his coat taken, as he is compelled to go all the way to the cross. He never desired revenge, but he went in meekness. He endured with a meek spirit. Even when they spit upon him, he was meek, always turning the other cheek. Learn of me, says the great preacher, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And not only learn of his meekness as he endures the reproach of men, but learn of him as he endures the administration of the justice of God. God imputed to Him all of our sins. And when God imputed our sins to Jesus Christ, it's as if we slapped Him in the face with all those sins. You slapped God's Christ, and so did I. And when God imputed to Him all of our sins, it's as if we took away from Him a coat. Literally, we took away from Him His life. And when God imputed our sins to Jesus Christ, we compelled Him to go a mile all the way to the cross and into the agonies of hell itself, and learn of Him as He meekly endured the imputation of our sins. And then look at what the great God of justice did to Jesus Christ, our Savior. When He imputed to Him the iniquity of us all, He then punished Him according to the perfect and strict laws of justice. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth was not abolished, as a principle of justice was not abolished by Jesus Christ. It was fulfilled in the highest possible way by Jesus Christ when God imputed to Him the iniquity of us all and then laid upon Him the punishment that we all deserve and sent Him into the inexpressible agonies of hell under His wrath. And justice said, not a tooth for a sin, or an eye for a lie, or an arm for a lust, as if Jesus would have to give up one of His arms for every time you lust, or a leg for a cursing. But the law said the wages of sin is death. For every single sin we committed and do commit, and every sin that's imputed to Jesus Christ, the law said He must die, and He did die for all of them, meekly and humbly enduring the administration of the justice of His Father. Learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. This astounding, otherworldly power, whereby the child of God does not seek revenge, but he lives in meekness before men, is the power of the meek and lowly Savior, Jesus Christ, which power is worked in our hearts by the Holy Spirit and strengthened within us through the preaching of the Holy Gospel, as it is tonight, so that we live and we leave by the power of Christ, resolved to live in meekness. With that kind of meek Savior and all He endured, and with that great power working within us, we can't take a frail slap to the face. For the one whose holy face was slapped for us, we can't lose one or two piddly possessions to another for the one who lost his life for us. We can't go one or two extra measly miles for another who compels us to do so for the one who went to the cross for us. We can't let that little juice box go for the Christ who gave His life for us, but we will seek revenge? God forbid. And in fact, it is impossible. It is impossible that the citizens of the kingdom of heaven, who are empowered within by the meek and lowly Jesus Christ, do not live in meekness. We do. And through the power of the preaching of the Holy Gospel, God strengthens that meekness within us. So may we leave tonight Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, resolved to obey the authoritative command of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying within ourselves, not revenge, but meekness characterizes my life by the power of Christ and for His sake and the glory of God. Not revenge, but meekness. Amen. Let us pray. Indeed, Father in heaven, how straight is the gate, and how narrow is the way that leads to life, and how few there be that find it. The Lord Jesus Christ has carefully, through His Word tonight, marked out a part of that way. How narrow it is, and how few there be that find it. That we are in the way, O Lord God, is reason for unending thanks. We understand the power of the sinful nature within us, and that we would always live in revenge, and it is impossible for us to be meek according to the requirement of Jesus Christ. And so we thank and praise Thee for Christ, for His power within us, that we are able to be meek, even as little children. Few there are on this earth who are truly meek. For meekness, therefore, we thank Thee. So receive our thanks, and now empower us, O God, by the Spirit of Christ, to be meek. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.